This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. We're back. We're going to do a news rundown tonight, Tony.
All right.
Because none of these topics is really worth talking too much about, but I thought they're interesting enough.
You selected some interesting items.
I selected some interesting things. So what does diversity mean to you, Tony? not what everybody else says. What does it mean to you? Because I have a different definition than the mainstream, but I'm assuming yours is the same, but lay it on me.
Diversity should mean a group of people that not only have different life experiences, but think about the world in very different ways. And so true diversity encompasses, in fact, most importantly, intellectual diversity. That is, mm-hmm. we don't all think about the world as a hive mind. It's not pigment bean counting. It's not skin deep diversity, which is, of course, what the fixation is. That's what modern diversity is. It should be people that come from all different life experiences, of all different religious backgrounds. That's diversity. So you have a variety of different worldviews and opinions. And sure, that encompasses people from different nations and different ethnicities. But if all the people think the same way, that's not diversity.
So it's not about the color of your skin.
I don't think so.
It's about the content of your character and your ideas. Where did I hear that?
I don't know.
I vaguely
recall
that.
Some misguided person said that.
I think he was shot and killed, but yes. Denise Young Smith. That may mean anything to you? Probably not.
Nope.
Doesn't mean most to anybody. She is Apple's diversity chief. There's actually a position called diversity chief.
I know. I can imagine.
For 20 years, she was a lawyer in human resources at Apple. So she recently, after six months ago, she was put into the diversity position. And she spoke in May about diversity and inclusion. Okay? She said, and I quote, "There can be 12 white, blue-eyed, blonde men in a room, and they're going to be diverse, too, because they're going to bring a different life experience and life perspective, perspective to the conversation."
Uh-oh. Somebody get the pitchforks out. How did she get to be in that position?
Yeah, she said, "Diversity is the human experience. I get a little bit frustrated when diversity or the term diversity is tagged to the people of color or the women or the LGBT."
Oh, my. She's doomed.
She's gone. She was.
How did she even make it past the gatekeepers at Apple?
Well, she's been 20 years there in HR.
They're having right now careful meetings to mm-hmm. figure out how this sort of heresy, right, this apostasy, had managed to infiltrate the Borg.
Well, this is interesting because they hired this person, they replaced her with someone else, and they're excited to bring this other person in. In 2017, only 3% of Apple's leaders were black, and women held just 23% of tech jobs, according to Fortune. Female leadership stood at 29% in Apple. This woman says, doesn't matter what your gender, doesn't matter what your sex, doesn't matter what your skin color is. It matters that you have diverse opinions.
Oh, and I notice you're holding the thing, and it says, the headline says, "Apple's diversity chief out after outcry."
Yes, Apple felt that she needed to apologize.
What an outrageous thing for her to have said.
How dare you? How dare you?
We require a Soviet-style apology immediately.
Yeah.
Self-abasement.
We shall see if we get that. Now, in the department of you can't make this stuff up, we've got Hillary Clinton. So let me play a little Mother Jones interview.
Oh, I know what this is. Yes.
This is Hillary
is
being
this
Hillary.
The election is not credible.
Well, let them say for it.
So between the Republican voter suppression you talked about, the Russian interference, do you think it was a legitimate election?
I think that there are lots of questions about its legitimacy, and
of course,
we don't have a method for contesting that our system.
Don't concede.
That's why I've long advocated for an independent commission to get to the bottom of what happened. Because look, this is the first time we've ever been attacked by a foreign adversary.
Oh, the first
and
time?
And then they suffer no real consequences.
Wow.
And so I'm worried that we're not learning all the lessons. It's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because I wanted people at least to understand what I saw as the factors, including, you know, shortcomings of myself and my campaign.
Oh,
but the forces
yes.
that work
How
outside
gracious of
my
you.
Campaign are not going away. Somebody else is going to be running for Congress or governor or eventually
Hopefully
president.
Me.
We've got to know how to protect ourselves.
First of all, I love how it started. We obviously missed the previous section.
It was like a 5-minute clip.
He just throws it out there. The self-evident voter suppression.
She talked about that for 2 or 3 minutes before the clip I pulled in, and I thought it was just too long.
Those were the polling places with the fire hoses and the dogs.
She talked about Republican voter suppression in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because she lost Wisconsin, so obviously
right.
voter suppression.
Well, that's the only explanation.
The only thing I can come up with. She called the Uranium One story a distraction and warns of a dictatorship. I don't know what country she's calling the dictatorship in. Must be this one. I think it's one of the major contributors to the outcome. Propaganda works. Advertising works. It's a form of propaganda.
Well, and as we've seen, even now the Democrats, okay, you know, Donna Brazile with her book, they're trying to destroy her. They want her to go away, and she just won't leave.
That's what I said. You can't make this stuff up. She just keeps sticking around. I don't understand it. I do not
and
get
actually,
where it comes
from. You know, she's now, previously, she had at least been, she was whining and she was going on her sore loserdom tour, but she wasn't outright now saying, now she's back to the election is not credible. Of course, it's with Mother Jones, right?
Well, yeah, so, that's a real okay. heavy hand. She says, racism and sexism and bigotry have no place in our country. And Donald Trump refused to say that he'd respect the results of this election. That's
and
a direct threat to our democracy.
And now I'm claiming,
no,
I'm claiming
the same thing.
That the election was not legitimate.
Yep, that was...
Wow.
Yeah.
Hillary is the best.
Mother Jones gave her a nice
Hillary
speaking box.
Hillary is awesome.
On to the weird. And I can only say, we've talked about where does this... there's two genders, male and female. There's...
Really, two sexes.
Two sexes, male and female. You can't be... You're one or the other. It doesn't matter what you do.
And again, with the caveat, yes, there are very, very limited instances.
Small, tiny pieces
with,
of that.
Yes, with their genetic abnormalities, and we get that. But primarily, the science is settled.
Right. And then we talked about marriage. We talked about marriage, and when's it going to stop? You're going to marry a tree? You're going to marry a tomato plant?
It's not going to stop. I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, this is... You're going to love this one. A gentleman named Jadu.
Wait, is that two names? Is that two words?
Jadu.
Okay. Like Mountain Dew?
Let him explain it in his own words. I think you'll get the gist here.
Whenever I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I've watched the History Channel sometimes for hours.
How unusual!
Whenever it came to that.
Wait.
And, you know, nothing else intrigues me more, but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it, but I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time. Well,
what?
The thing is, you know, Listen. I have to make sure that it wasn't just me, because if it's just me, then there must be something wrong.
Yes.
Yes, there must!
It's strange.
Yes, you are.
So, you know, I created the group in hopes of, you know, getting our message out in the bottle.
You wait. It's coming.
People started to join. People started to message me about, you know, their conflictions with themselves. My family knows about my transsexuality, but they don't
That's not what
know
it is.
Anything about this. It's just my mom is kind of an older world person. And I just think that something, telling her something like that is just too wild. I believe that we all have the freedoms to pursue happiness in our own ways. We can pursue intimacy with whatever partner we want.
So...
Hold
on. He said, my mother's old world, and I don't think she could handle that. She can handle my transsexuality. So it's not
right.
transsexuality.
Old world meaning before the shiny 21st century.
Apparently right. that's what old world
but
means.
But what is he? What's the deal? Like you buried the...
I know. I wanted to see if you could pick out from... He's transracial. He's born a white man in Tampa.
Oh, he wants to be Peruvian?
He wants to be Filipino. He
oh,
said,
that's
inside
right.
I feel Filipino.
Oh, hey.
Because when I listen to the music and I eat the food,
and
I feel at home.
And I watch the History Channel
for hours
at a time.
So do I, but I don't feel like any of those cultures. I just like watching the History Channel. So he's in Tampa, Florida. He is transsexual. He drives a purple tuk-tuk, which is a covered three-wheeled motorcycle that they drive in the Philippines and other parts of Southeast Asia. But he started a transracial group to see if there was other people like him. So it's gone to the fact that you're born a certain race, but apparently...
Sure. Well, isn't this the Rachel Dolezal thing, right?
Yeah, but he's not saying he's Filipino. He just says, inside, I feel Filipino. He's not even claiming... I mean, the guy looks... He's got purple hair. And,
well, yeah, but but he wants other people to treat him that way, right?
He didn't really say. He just wants people to know that that's how he feels.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, I like Mexican food, but I don't feel Mexican.
At least not today, you know.
Not today, probably never ever, because I was not
born
in Mexico.
I mean, and that's the thing. Why stick with only one? I mean, every day
and
in a week
Filipino?
You can be...
And why Filipino?
Well, I don't know.
It's just...
That's perfectly fine.
How many History Channel shows were about the Philippines?
That's true. That is a rare...
Hours. It must have been the same show over and over.
He must have caught a very odd week of programming.
I don't know. Was it World War II and MacArthur? Or what? I don't know what you were watching for hours on the Philippines. So that was some news of the world out there. I do want to, one last thing, and I don't have a clip on this. The FBI is looking for a new, they want to do more with our invasion of our privacy. So the Patriot Act has gone
not
a
doing
little
enough.
Too, the Patriot Act has gone a little too heavy-handed. They want to pull it
back.
Well,
they want to pull back?
They want to call
they
it
never the, want to pull back.
They want to call it the USA Liberty Act. It's a bipartisan proposal from Mike Lee and Patrick Leahy.
I like Mike Lee.
I like Mike
I don't
Lee.
Like
Patrick
Leahy.
Leahy, not so much. They still went back. They want to have you get a search warrant to search your phone and your internet connections and your email and things like that, which is fine. But the FBI and the ACLU think it's going, or the FBI think it's not going far enough. The ACLU think it's going too far. And I think I agree with that. But they're just trying to repackage the Patriot Act. So just watch for that. It's called the USA Liberty Act.
Yeah,
I'm not, here, not
my,
a fan.
My general rule of thumb is that anything that Pat Leahy is involved in is not good.
Can't be. Yeah.
So if it's a bipartisan effort involving Pat Leahy, bad idea. I don't really even need to know what it's about.
What happened to the first name Daniel? Didn't he used to go by Daniel Patrick Leahy?
I don't think so.
No?
Well, Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Yeah, maybe I'm confusing the two.
It's
certainly
so.
Possible. It is certainly possible.
If there was more Daniel Patrick Moynihans on the Democratic side these days, we'd be in much better shape. He would be persona non grata now.
Yeah, they wouldn't like him. So that was some touch up of the news of the world that you probably didn't see in your local newspaper, but I thought I'd bring it up to you anyway. The next topic is really, and somebody wrote to me this week about Al Franken. And for those of you who don't know,
Stuart Smalley,
former SNL writer and star of SNL. Not really that funny, but apparently
the
some
sitting
people
senator of the great state of Minnesota.
One of them, yes.
Yes.
And somebody wrote to me this week about that, about should he be gone? And it's kind of getting conflated with Roy Moore and Bill Clinton and, you know, other government people who've been accused. But those are the three that keep coming up.
Did you see today, though? Charlie Rose is now on the...
Charlie Rose.
Yes.
Did he put somebody to sleep?
I don't know. I don't really know. It's all part of the frenzy.
Okay. So, basically, if you're a famous male, you're probably going to be accused of something at some point in Hollywood and in this area. So, I wanted to make sure we understood... No. How do I say this? Al Franken, there's a picture of him touching, or looks to be touching a... woman, and he's smiling lasciviously.
It's Leanne Tweeden. They were on a tour,
a USO
for
tour.
The troops.
Yep.
And there's a picture of him. She's fully clothed, but she's asleep, it appears. And he's looking back at the camera, whoever's taking it, and he's basically fondling her breasts.
Correct.
That's what's going on. It's in the picture.
Yep.
And of course, he said, oh, it was meant as a joke. And she's now come out and said, oh, I didn't really find that very funny while I was asleep. And then apparently there was also an incident, she claims, where they were supposedly rehearsing for a scene, and he kissed her inappropriately. And so Al's in big trouble now.
Yeah, and that was in 2006. He didn't run for the Senate until 2008, so I want to clarify that. Now, the question is, should Al Franken be removed or resign from the Senate?
You know, it's funny.
And I have a different opinion probably than what you might
be.
Well,
I actually don't think he should be.
I agree with that. No, I thought you'd disagree with me on that, I'm sure.
No, because I'm very, again, this sort of now mob mentality that we have, this frenzy of all these, look, sexual harassment, sexual assault, very serious things. If you do them, you should pay the consequences. does that automatically mean you should be removed from the Senate? I don't necessarily think so. Part of my reasoning is, if the people of Minnesota think that this is serious enough, that's why we have another election.
Sure.
So I don't look. I can't stand Al Franken. I can't stand anything.
I would like him to resign.
Sure. I mean, his worldview is anathema to me.
Sure.
I think he's less than a mediocrity. So I love reading all these things about how Al Franken is one of the smartest people in the Senate. If you've ever listened to him, he seems smart, right, in terms of how he speaks. But if you actually look at the substance of the things that he says, he's adult.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And by the way.
Completely.
Al Franken won his election over Norm Coleman. I encourage anyone to read. There was an investigation. He won that election by an incredible... There was actually a recount. Norm Coleman had won, but the margin was so slim, literally several hundred
312 votes.
They had a recount, and after the recount, amazingly, Al Franken turned out to be the winner. Well... After this, there was an examination of people who voted. Well over 1,000 felons voted in that election. And we know...
Don't forget the dead people that
yes,
voted
we
well.
Know that most of the time, the felon voters tend to go with the Hope and Change Party. And so there is a strong likelihood that Al Franken is in the Senate because of voter fraud. And what was so significant about Al Franken winning that election, Jeff?
You know, most people don't think about this, but it's Obamacare.
Correct, because he provided the 60th vote in the Senate, which, of course, prevented any filibuster and allowed them to cram through Obamacare. If Al Franken is not in the Senate, we very likely do not have the nightmare that we've had with Obamacare. That was a very significant
Senate
election.
Yeah, and
he wasn't
seated for months. I mean,
right.
It was well after the Congress was in session before he got
seated.
So,
you know... Again, I think what Al Franken did, and of course, he's another guy that was very happy to lecture America about how it was a bunch of mouth-breathing, retrograde people, and
like
we
him.
Should listen. We should listen to Al because he has compassion and he cares
sure.
about women and children
sure.
and puppies. Sure. And, you know, and then Al, with his human frailty, is engaging in this sort of behavior. You also brought up the idea, well, now there's this rush to compare
and contrast. Let's
get to
that yet.
Okay.
So I want to bring something else up. And this is, I have no proof on this, so just bear with me for a second. There's a contingency called it's called AGF, Apple, Google, Facebook. All right. And there's concern at some levels, certainly in government. Elizabeth Warren has talked about this, but I usually dismiss anything
yes,
she says as kooky.
That's a very good rule of thumb.
But there's some concern that Apple, Google, and Facebook have a lot of the data on people in the United States, using the Facebook example for the Russian collusion and Russian ads. And whether or not it's true or not, bear with me. Last week, Al Franken spoke out against his overlords, who probably paid for a lot of his money to get elected. And a week later, this comes up. Now, again, this was from 2006.
Yeah.
Why, 11 years later, does it come out? I don't know if there's a connection, but there seems to be like, you said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Now we're unleashing the dogs. Because I don't think Leanne Tweeden's a Republican in any stretch of the imagination.
Who knows?
I don't know. But it seems like really convenient now, as soon as he comes out against something like this, boom. Now, I don't know if Elizabeth Warren's going to have that. I want to say, I don't think he should be... He should resign. I'd like him to resign, but I don't think he should resign because it happened before he was in the Senate. That's a legal issue.
That is up to the voters of Minnesota.
Exactly. Now, you wanted to bring it in to Bill Clinton
Moore. The one humorous thing I did want to add, though, is that I love this, that you know Al, of course, gave the obligatory apology and talked all about how he's a comedian, and of course, in his world, he's had to learn that the things that he thought was funny or intended to be funny, it's how it affects other people. This mealy-mouthed apology, non-apology. But one of the things he said in there, which almost made me laugh out loud, was, you know, I fully support a full investigation.
Yes, by the Senate Ethics Committee.
We
got the picture.
I support an investigation into myself, since I can't be sure what myself has done, even though I have a picture and I have my memory intact, presumably. I support an investigation into me, and hopefully... I will allow that to go wherever it may lead. I mean, like, how ridiculous.
Well, we only have a picture.
Right.
We have
a picture of you doing this. You've admitted you did this. What exactly is the investigation going to uncover?
I do not know.
Yeah.
I do not know.
But I fully support It's like the Eric Holder thing. Yes. I am going to leave no stone unturned in my search to find out what happened with the Fast and Furious operation that I was running.
Yes. Yeah. Or OJ.
Right.
I'm going to go find the real killers. Sure you are. Now, let's bring it to Roy Moore first. So Roy Moore is running for Senate out of Alabama. He was not Donald Trump's candidate, but he's now the Republican candidate coming out of Alabama. And there's been some allegations against him with multiple women, specifically one who said he signed her yearbook that Gloria Allred will not let anybody see. Not sure why.
Well, the minute Gloria Allred gets involved, that essentially means that we don't believe anything that person says,
right.
Unfortunately.
So I don't know what's going on there. My feeling is if the people of Alabama choose to elect Roy Moore, that's up to the people of Alabama, because if it's not going on now, and if there's a criminal case, then pursue the criminal case if there is such one.
Well, because one of the main claims, one of the women that is now accusing him, by the way, these are allegations that are, well, let me back up for a minute. I do not like Roy Moore on multiple levels.
I'm not a
fan. I think Roy Moore was a bad judge when he was removed from the bench twice for refusing to follow the law. We talked about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He is certainly not someone that should be a standard bearer for any form of conservatism.
No.
I would not support him in an election if I lived in Alabama. So I have absolutely no qualms with someone saying Roy Moore is not fit to be in the Senate for multiple reasons. Now, the left, the progressives, the Democrats look at this and say, well, look at all of these redneck Alabamians who are supporting this guy who's basically a pedophile, right? Because mm-hmm. one of the women says that when she was 14, mm-hmm. and by the way, that if that's true, I don't know how you can ever prove it 40 years later. It's a he said, she said kind of deal. That's obviously a grotesque criminal act.
Certainly.
And I think statute of limitations.
And he was in his 30s at the time,
I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of women who have said he engaged in this sort of behavior with very much younger women. He seems like a generally creepy guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's also kind of a walking caricature of everything the left wants Christians to be
mm-hmm.
in terms of his seeming commitment to actual theocracy. You know, if they say all Christians in public life are theocrats. Well, this guy actually might be one. Okay, so I have absolutely no sympathy, no predilection to favor Roy Moore. But I also think that it is very legitimate for someone in Alabama to say, huh, this is interesting. The guy that is now running for Senate, who is the Republican candidate, 40 years after this happened, who's been in public life the entire time.
Yeah.
It's not like this guy went and sold moonshine for 30 years up in the mountains. He's been a judge. He's been a public figure. This is never... None of this stuff has ever come to light until now, a month before this rather important Senate election. I think those people are entitled to be rather skeptical
mm-hmm.
about those claims. And it's not about them saying, yeah, you go, buddy. It's about, we don't believe the Washington Post, or we're not inclined to accept at face value these accusations, particularly, you brought up the fact that some of them seem like they can't really be corroborated. There's a yearbook for this other woman. I think her name is Nelson.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
They're claiming that this demonstrates that Roy Moore knew her and did these things because he signed her high school yearbook.
Well, he claims he doesn't know some of these ladies.
Now,
I don't know if he knows any of them.
Roy Moore has done himself no favors, because when he went on Hannity's show, and Hannity actually, to his credit, because Hannity's kind of a big Roy Moore guy, asked him some pretty direct questions about what did you do. Roy Moore's answers were not all that persuasive.
No.
Okay, so I tend to believe that there is some substance to these allegations, okay? But this one woman who says, oh, he signed my yearbook and he wrote DA, well, there's a lot of questions about he wasn't actually a DA at the time, and the big hint that there's something wrong with this is Gloria Allred, the woman's lawyer, will not allow it to be examined. Now, Chad, if you knew that this was a legitimate signature by Roy Moore, that your client had nothing to hide, wouldn't you be immediately not only allowing that to happen, but saying, we welcome an analysis of this? The reason is because I suspect, this is pure speculation, I suspect that Roy Moore signed the yearbook, okay, but did not actually write that DA. I think the woman added that to make it seem more incriminating.
Could be.
And I think Gloria Allred knows that that is going to torpedo any credibility she may have, which is why she doesn't want it examined.
I would think if you're trying to get a payday, because I don't think they're looking for a trial. I think they're looking for a payoff.
I think that they're looking to derail him,
right,
keep him out of
but
the Senate.
But get a payoff before the election so that they get paid and derails his Senate bid. I don't know if I believe something may have happened. I think he was probably acted inappropriately just by his creepy nature. I guess I believe there was something inappropriate, but with whom and what age were they when it happened? I don't know, and I don't think anything's come out yet that shows me definitively this is what happens. But I agree.
And think about this. Again, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that Roy Moore is a very creepy guy who may have done some very bad things. We don't know that definitively, but if you were going to ask me which side am I on, I'm more on the side of, if you're going to force me to choose, I think he may have done some of this stuff. However,
one or the other.
Consider how you, let's just hypothetically, mm-hmm. a completely innocent person who's never done this, how would you deal with someone who literally 4 decades later comes out of the woodwork, you're a prominent public figure, and says the most horrific things about what you may have done? How do you defend yourself?
Well, you can't. You can't.
And that's part of the problem here.
Well, that's part of the problem with this whole, all of this. I mean, Al Franken admitted he did it, and there's a picture of him doing it.
Al Franken, there's a photograph.
So you got that. Roy Moore, we don't have any visual proof that we've seen so far, or audio proof or anything like that. But I think this is the danger we're in right now. We're in this gotcha mentality, and it's going rampant through Hollywood. Jeffrey Tambor yesterday had to resign from a show on Amazon where he's on
Emmys.
Well,
and by the way, the fact that there's a gotcha mentality doesn't mean that a lot of these guys didn't do this.
Correct.
Hollywood is a cesspit.
Correct. We don't know what they did or didn't do, but it's become, you know, the flavor of the day to say, yes, he said something inappropriate to me. What did he say? Well, I don't want to talk about it, but it was inappropriate. Well, what is that? What I call inappropriate may not be what you call inappropriate. So it's very touchy on those things. Did Roy Moore do these things? I think he did something. I don't know what, but I think he did something.
Right.
But
again,
I don't have any proof of that.
There's a ton of reasons other than this to not to support Roy Moore. But there's one other thing I want to talk about this issue. Okay, because we now see, at least I've been reading, there's now a lot of public intellectuals who are liberals, who are progressives, doing this sort of chin stroking, saying, hey, you know what, now that we're in this new world where we take these things seriously, perhaps we should reconsider the legacy of Bill Clinton.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. Now,
finally into Bill.
Well, but here's the thing that is so, it's beyond hypocritical about this, okay? There is no cost to them whatsoever to now have this epiphany that, oh my word, you know what? When we cast aside all of our principles to willingly and slavishly support Bill Clinton after there were numerous women that credibly accused him of rape,
mm-hmm.
Juanita Broderick, okay, mm-hmm. and sexual
Kathleen
assault,
yep.
and he engaged in all of this stuff going as far back as his time as governor of Arkansas, and we not only we didn't just attempt to brush this under the rug, we actively attacked the women
mm-hmm.
as trailer trash and fame seekers, and we tried to destroy them, and Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. our presidential candidate, was complicit in this, and yet we didn't find it at all important to stand up and say, you know what, party affiliation be damned, this is a grotesque man, and we renounce him and his works. Mm-hmm. No, but now that Bill Clinton is completely out of public life,
sure.
and by the way, his wife has also lost the election that she was predestined to win, now we've suddenly had a revelation that maybe we should treat these kind of things more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Okay? This is not courageous. This is not genuine. This is now, there is no cost to us to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reject out of hand all of these people as disingenuous slime bags. Okay?
Agreed.
And I do not want to hear that we didn't fully understand.
Oh, please.
Really? Do you remember the Clarence Thomas hearings?
Yes,
okay?
They fully understood.
That was like the Salem witch trial. And by the way, what was Clarence Thomas accused of by one woman? No corroborating witnesses. Was he accused of assaulting someone? Raping someone?
Nope.
No, he was accused of using vulgar language, talking in very sexually explicit ways around the office.
He was accused of putting
pubic hair on the Coke can. Okay,
yeah.
Now, if Clarence Thomas had done these things, which I don't for a minute believe that he did,
no.
That's not a very nice thing to do. That makes him kind of a grotesque human being.
Sure.
But They tried to keep him from being on the Supreme Court for that.
Mm-hmm.
No sexual assault, no rape, nothing from one woman who, by the way, again, never raised these allegations at the time and followed him to two successive jobs while then claiming later on that this was the most horrific and traumatizing event in her entire adult life. She was a liar.
Mm-hmm.
That is my estimation of Anita Hill, a flagrant liar who was trotted out in an attempt to derail this man, who, by the way, there was not a single other credible accuser. Most of the women that worked with him testified impeccable behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I reject out of hand everything that Anita Hill said. She's a disgraceful liar, okay?
Fair enough.
This argument from the left now that, well, back then, we didn't know to take this as seriously. Baloney. You used it to your political advantage when you saw fit, and you decided that Bill Clinton's politics were far too important to allow him to be sacrificed because we needed to protect Roe v. Wade and all the other things that we find so significant in our worldview. So all of this now, let's reconsider Bill Clinton. Forget it.
Yeah. I don't think Roy Moore should step out of the race if he doesn't want to, and the people of Alabama should determine whether or not they want to vote for him or not. I don't think Al Franken should resign because it didn't happen when he was in the Senate, and the Senate's Ethics Committee should only investigate things that happen while he's in the Senate. Because he wasn't in the Senate at the time. If there's criminal charges for either one, pursue those. Bill Clinton should have resigned. He should have been impeached, which he was, but he did not successfully impeached. He should not have been removed from office in 1998 because he perjured himself under oath. That's why he should have been. Not for political reasons, not because you hate Bill Clinton, not even because of what he did in the Oval Office, although I think that's reprehensible, and he's admitted to it, and she's admitted
to it. It's the same thing that brought down Nixon. It's the cover-up,
right?
It's the lie.
He should have been gone. Gone, gone, gone. And there should have been no way to save him, and the Senate in 1998 was a bunch of spineless wimps. They could not do what they should have done. The House gave them everything they needed, and it was a political firestorm, and they didn't really want to follow through. I'm sorry, he should have been gone. Now, that means we'd have had President Gore.
Yeah, which would be actually, as between Al Gore and Bill Clinton, as a conservative, I'd much rather have Bill Clinton as president in terms of his policies.
Right. Hopefully. Now, 2000, we may have a different outcome because it's a sitting president versus even a legacy. So are they the same people? No, they're not the same people. The different situations who all have sexual innuendo around them, or in Bill Clinton's case, actual sexual assault and rape. But you're right. Hillary was the first one to say, we always believe the woman, except when they're accusing my husband, because that's not politically expedient to do, so therefore we can't believe any of the women who accuse my husband. That has to be nothing.
Yeah,
to talk
I mean,
about.
What was the Carville thing? Drag a dollar bill through a trailer park, you never know who will turn up. I mean, so again, this wasn't just, well, we're not going to believe them.
They knew everything about this.
But this was an active attempt to destroy these women.
Oh, yeah.
And now these same people are saying, well, you know what? Maybe we should rethink how we react.
You're 100% right. There's nothing. They have no skin in the game to lose anything by trolling Bill Clinton now.
Who cares? In fact, even as far back as, a whole year ago, if they had had this reconsideration, that might have shown me something. Because guess what? That would have hurt Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And why didn't they? Because it would have hurt Hillary.
They didn't want that
They happening. Can't tie Hillary.
Nope.
They don't want all that being dredged up again. That, oh, wait a minute, weren't you the enabler for your husband's bimbo eruptions? So again, all of this is completely disingenuous. And by the way, why are they doing it? Because it allows them now to say, well, see, now that we all agree on the standard, let's apply this immediately to our political enemies, since the scales have fallen from our eyes. It is really bad.
Yes.
Oh, guess what? Roy Moore, you got to go. Donald Trump and Fuhrer, you really have to go. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will not, as usual, I'm not going to listen to any of these people.
Nor should you.
They have no credibility. They have no moral authority on anything like this.
And they keep trying to act like they do. They do not, and you're 100% right. This is not something they should even step into. If you're going to prosecute it back then or stand behind it, then don't say anything.
And again,
now.
This comes from a guy, me, who has absolutely no love for Roy Moore. I don't like Roy Moore. I think it's a mistake for conservatives to support Roy Moore.
Agreed.
But that's a completely separate issue.
That's Alabama's decision whether or not they do that, and that's not mine or yours. But I don't think he's a good candidate. I think he's a horrible candidate. I don't know that Dr. Strange was any better, but he was a different choice.
Yeah.
So we shall see what happens with all that. the GOP has a new tax plan and spends a little money, as you might imagine. This is from the Washington Post, which should not shock you. More than 400 millionaires tell Congress, don't cut our taxes. Seriously? Millionaires mm-hmm. tell me, don't cut my taxes. I'd like to pay more.
More than 400? But you know what? It's interesting, and we bring this up all the time. Every one of those 400 millionaires is free to write a check to the Treasury. How many of those 400 do you think are doing that?
None. They want everybody to pay, but they don't actually want to pay. They want to move it out to everybody. I'm agreeing with you. This is Ben and Jerry's. Sure, that's real shocking. Ben and Jerry's Stephen Rockefeller. That's a little surprising, but they all have over $1.5 million in assets or earnings of $250,000 or more a year. Okay.
Again,
it's a joke. It's a joke.
I would take this semi-seriously. If a single Warren Buffett says this kind of stuff all the time,
yeah, but please, he never writes a check, does he?
Don't cut my. I don't need it.
No.
The commoners need it. I don't need it. I'm doing. In fact, it's such a shame that I pay a lower effective rate than my poor secretary. Gee, Warren,
give her a raise.
Give her a rather substantial raise, and I think you've got a couple billion just sitting in your change jar in the kitchen. Feel free to send it the way of the Treasury, Warren.
Write that check anytime you want. So, again, the Washington Post gives us the winners and losers in the Senate GOP tax plan.
Oh, wait, let me guess. There's many marginalized people who are the losers.
Well, let's go with the winners.
The middle class are the losers.
Big corporations are winners.
They're always the winners.
Many small businesses are winners.
Okay.
The wealthiest are winners because we wouldn't want the wealthy
evil
to win.
Wealthy people.
Okay. They say people with homes worth $500,000 to $1 million are winners. Americans with hefty medical bills are also winners. Families that adopt children. How are you going to spin that one, Washington Post? Families that adopt children win in this tax plan. Wow. That's awesome.
That's pretty bad.
College and graduate students are winners. Now,
why are they winners? What is the effective provision that makes them
winners? Keeps the student loan interest deduction that benefits so many college grads.
Okay.
It's very vague.
That's That's not a lot of winning.
Yeah. Losers. People living in high tax states, such as New York and California. Beep. That's your problem.
Yeah.
You don't like the high tax states, move away.
You're already a loser because you live in a high tax state.
I'm like, so that's my fault because you have high taxes and you've elected people to give you higher taxes? That's your stupidity, not mine.
I mean, but by the way, why is that? Here's the thing. That shouldn't be a loser because everything I'm told by the Washington Post is it is a patriotic act to continually pay higher and higher taxes. Shouldn't they be the biggest winners of all?
No.
The more they have an opportunity to have their wealth involuntarily redistributed, that's time for a party, right?
According to the Washington Post, all the state and local tax deductions, the SALT taxes, are gone.
It's funny, though, because they continually tell us that that should be the greatest opportunity of your life to give Big Brother more of your money so they can spend it more wisely. Why is that a loser?
Why don't we just put Uncle Sam on my paycheck and leave it at that?
They have flipped the categories.
Now, here's where you fall in.
Uh-oh.
Losers. Law, architecture, consulting, finance, or medical small businesses. Because the Senate plan does not allow service businesses that earn more than $75,000 a year to benefit from the small business tax break. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Losers, 1,800 super wealthy heirs and heiresses. Now, wait a minute. I thought people who were rich benefited. How can they be winners and losers? Well, I don't understand estate taxes. That's the key.
And so, why are they? Why? Why are they a loser under that analysis?
Because they opted to keep in place the estate taxes, some called death taxes.
Right.
So
of course
they can't get all that money for nothing. They've got to give it back. But if you're rich on your own, yeah, you're in good shape.
Well, and actually, I mean, I think that provision, the estate tax is a terrible tax.
I agree.
Should be eliminated.
I agree. It shouldn't exist. The poor. Shockingly, 70 million people don't make enough money to have to pay federal income taxes. Many of those people currently receive money back from the government because they qualify for refundable credits. Under the Senate plan, those credits are going away, but they aren't going away, but they also aren't growing.
So this is also okay. So that's right. So let's unpack that. The 50% of the country, or 47%, don't pay any taxes.
What's that mean? So when they take it out of your paycheck, they give it all back to you, correct?
Right.
Federal taxes.
Yes. Yes.
So if I make $20,000 a year, and they take five, I get all five back.
Right. So
wow.
You're not paying taxes. You're getting the it's being taken out. It's given back to you. But you're a loser because you're not getting more.
Correct. You're not getting more.
This is the same definition in D.C. and Washington, the only place in the world where a cut is considered an increase that is less than last year.
It's an increase of less than I ask for is a cut in Washington.
Right. So that's like you go to your wife and you say, honey, listen, last year I bought a Lamborghini that cost $400,000 and caused us to declare bankruptcy. You'll be glad to know that I've cut our spending because this year I'm only buying a Porsche 911.
Yes,
and so though we still spent $200,000 more than our effective budget, it's a draconian cut in my spending. That is DC analysis of what it means to cut spending or to be a loser.
It is. The next one, loser. Universities like Harvard with really big endowments.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's a mighty big endowment you've got there, sir. Universities with big endowments worth more than $250,000 per student would have to pay an excise tax of 1.4%.
Right. Well, and here was the thing.
On their investment gains.
And what they were doing is all of these colleges and universities were avoiding that by creating these separate entities where they were warehousing the endowment funds so that they would avoid paying taxes on them. And by the way, it's legal, but this is the kind of stuff that all the administrators of these colleges rail against, mm-hmm. right? It's John Kerry and his yacht, right?
It's Apple and Google the Irish sandwich
again,
or whatever.
The rich should pay more, except I'm going to dock my yacht in another state so I don't have to pay
Liberia.
The luxury tax.
I'm going to put it under a Liberian flag. And the last loser, and you will never have guessed this one, people who bike to work.
Oh.
The Senate plan does
it's
away with
a huge constituency.
Does
is
away
that
with
is that
$20? $20 per month deduction people who bike to work can take.
No!
I didn't know that existed, first of all. But you can deduct $20 per month. Yes, folks, you can deduct $240 a year off your taxes.
There are now 87 people in Soho, Berkeley, and Ann Arbor who are furious.
Yeah, 47% of which weren't paying taxes to begin with.
Well,
federally.
No, they're professors or whatever. Naked.
Were you biking
artists.
To work because of the $20 tax credit, or were you just biking to work because you wanted to bike to work?
Well, because you're saving the environment.
Yeah,
and look, the government is now punishing you for saving Gaia.
They're just not giving you what you didn't deserve in the first place. Shocking, I know. So that was the tax plan. What do you think of the tax plan?
I mean, in general, I think in the broadest strokes, it's certainly better than anything that, the Obama administration would do. It still has problems. I mean, again, this is the issue, is that there's so many competing constituencies here that trying to cobble together something that satisfies everyone is very, very difficult.
Almost impossible.
I think the broad strokes of it, it's better because they're essentially reducing taxes on wealth creators.
But it's a $1.5 trillion budget for this. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, should we really think about that? I mean, Republicans are all about saving
money,
right?
Well, again, Republicans are not conservatives, and Republicans.
There you go.
Republicans are they're not as complicit, and they're not as they haven't engaged in as egregious spending and deficit and debt explosion. But they've been right on board with it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's ratcheted under the Bush administration. It ratcheted more under the Obama administration. But so they are all to blame for this.
Oh yeah, everybody in Congress that was there is part of this whole thing. So we'll wait and see if that actually gets passed or what it looks like when it actually gets covered. It could change 100 times before now. So don't get too worried about your biking credit. It may still be there. You never know. So, Tony, we always ask people to give us a call when they've got a question or a statement.
A complaint?
Complaint, question, statement.
A grievance?
Maybe it's a praise. You don't even know.
I actually like it when it's grievances.
Because it's usually against me. 717-739-5432. 717-739-5432. This one is directed at me, I believe.
Of course it is.
I don't think it's a bad one. Just directed at me. So let me play the clip. And one of our listeners responded to me. He said, I like when you guys talk, and I like when you have the clips, but I'd like you to not talk in the clips so I can hear them.
Oh.
I should have said that earlier, but I forgot.
We will talk when we want.
That's what I said. Here we go with the caller.
Hey, this is a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I wanted to recommend that you go ahead and watch professional football, because it feels like to me that you're punishing yourself for something. So I just wondered what your thoughts were about that, that you are hurting you. And also, it's kind of hard to commentate on football if you're not watching it, right? And so we kind of enjoy that banter back and forth. Also wondered, after you do start watching again, what you all think about the new things that they're doing in the end zone. I'd love to hear what your take is on that. Okay? I hope you guys are having a good night. Bye.
So I want to thank our listener, caller. She didn't say her name, but I think we both
yes.
are aware of it. And we thank you for the call. Thank you very much.
And that is directed at you.
Yes, it was directed at me because I've said I'm not watching professional football.
And I have already pointed out that yours is a fraudulent boycott because you will immediately revert to watching if the Steelers are in the playoffs. Do you deny that?
I can't deny anything. It's a week-to-week thing for me.
Will you? Oh, see? Well, that's what I mean.
I have not watched since September 24th when the Steelers didn't come out of the tunnel. I have not watched since then. I can't promise I never will watch, and this caller makes a good point. I am punishing myself.
Yes, and it's even worse because you're saying I can't even promise that I'm going to stick to this.
I want to, and every week, and I say to my wife, I want to watch. It's not that I don't want to watch. I want to watch. I just feel like there's a principle of you've disrespected, multiple people have disrespected what I would believe in, and watching you just gives you credence that maybe it's okay, and I don't think it's okay. And I know other people feel the same way, and other people don't. And that's okay.
But if it's a week-to-week decision...
No, every week. And I haven't watched because... And it's gotten easier every week, believe me.
It's not going to be easier when the Steelers roll into the AFC playoffs. And
you might be right. And you might. I might say, "Go, I just got to watch because I got to know." And if the Steelers were having a lousy season, it would be easier. I admit. If they're losing every week, I'd be like, it's easy. If they were the Browns, it'd be real easy not to watch. But they're not the Browns, thankfully, for many reasons. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, this caller challenged me, and I accept that challenge that I have to decide, am I not watching for me or am I not watching for them? And she's right. I'm punishing myself. I don't know if that's going to change. I can't promise that. But I do take her point. It's hard to comment on the things, but I try to read as much as I can and see clips, but I don't watch
it's
the games.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
Your analysis is immediately called into question.
So this... Thank you. I think I'm still winning a bet, and we'll get to that in a second. She asked about the...
I wasn't sure. What is that? What does she mean?
I think she
that?
Means the reduced flags for end zone celebrations. I'm assuming that's what she meant. I don't know. She didn't clarify, but I think that's what she's saying. You mean the players doing, you know, conga lines and
yeah.
doing rowboats and doing duck, duck, goose... I'll tell you what. Here's
duck, duck, goose.
Yeah, the Packers did a duck, duck, goose a couple weeks ago.
Maybe we disagree on this. I have a feeling we disagree. Go ahead. What is your view of this?
So my view is, and this goes back to when I was a kid, and my dad would say, you know, go out and do your best, but don't engage with the crowd. And this is a wrestling match, and I remember this very distinctly. I got up, I had beaten my opponent, and I was getting heckled from the crowd, the opposing crowd. And I stood up, got my hand raised, and I saluted as I walked off to the crowd, like a mocking, hey, I see you, whatever, I just beat your guy. And my dad was in my face. He said, that's disrespectful. Just respect what you've done. And I remember that. And then I also remember Barry Sanders.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And Barry Sanders, when he got a touchdown, he would put the ball down and he would walk away. He didn't have any flamboyant anything. That was his personality. He was not a flamboyant individual, but he would put the ball down. And I remember something else my dad said. He said, act like you've been there before and act like you're going to be there again. Every time you get there shouldn't be a huge celebration because you're expected to do that. You're expected to win. You're expected to score a touchdown, whatever it is. So why do you need to celebrate and point at yourself constantly about something you're supposed to do? If you're a wide receiver, your job is to catch the ball and score touchdowns, running back, whatever. Why are you making this big production out of it? And I've always struggled with that because I know these guys are excited. I know they're happy to do this, and they want people to look at them. They rip off their helmets, which they're not allowed to do anymore, but they would rip off their helmets so everybody could say, see me, see me. And I think that's a selfish personality, but that's my feeling. I don't think they should be doing these things, but
All right. But see, here's the thing.
Wheelhouse.
I'm glad because we disagree.
Okay.
We have a disagreement. Now, you are answering or you're talking about an issue that really isn't the issue. So here's what I mean. What you've just expressed, I generally agree with, which is if I was in the NFL or if I had my preferences, players would behave like a Barry Sanders or even a Jerry Rice. The shenanigans and the antics and the diva behavior, not something that I think is necessary. Mm-hmm. However, that's not really the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is, should the league be penalizing players who don't behave that way?
Well, that's not what the caller asked. She asked, what do I think of it? And I gave her what I thought of it. We didn't talk about what should the league penalize.
Well,
that.
I thought the implication was, though, what the league's because the league's involvement in this was they're pulling back.
They're pulling back.
And my attitude is very simple about this. So I'm separating my personal inclination to how does a sportsman behave?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You don't behave like a knucklehead, as
yep.
Charles Barkley would say. However, I am absolutely opposed to the NFL making anything that goes on as an end zone celebration short of some profane behavior being penalized. It's a professional sports league that is there for entertainment value. Who cares if a bunch of guys want to run around in the end zone? Again, I as a fan could say, you know, I don't really like that. But to make it part of the rules that say you're going to be flagged for this? Nonsense. I don't care what they do, and the league should not be in the business of that kind of micromanaging player behavior. Just nonsense. And I get it. The league can say you need to wear certain things, you need to act a certain way, but there are a lot of fans that like that. And mm-hmm. it's idiotic to be that focused on, oh my word, that's taunting. Who cares? They're being paid millions and millions of dollars to play a sport that, by the way, on any particular play could end your life.
Sure.
Literally.
Sure.
Okay? Could paralyze you.
I have no problem with taunting. I wouldn't do it, but I have no problem if you stand over somebody like they used to do in the 70s.
Guess what? You want to make them stop taunting you? You know what you do.
You beat them.
You beat them. That's correct. You know,
so I have no problem with the taunting. I have... You know, you get into profanity. Certainly, I'm opposed to that.
Right. You can't have lewd and obscene gestures. That's fine.
I'm not looking for props a la Joe Horn writing on, pulling the Sharpie out. I think anything that delays the game longer is a problem for me. And longer
that's a different issue, too.
Right.
If your antics are going on such that the game can't, then
right.
absolutely.
Then I think you need to say, hey, it takes as long as to get the players out in the field to kick the extra point or run the 2-point, get the nets up. That's it. If you're still out there, it's a flag. That's as simple as me. So as long as that takes, if you fall short of that, too bad. I don't care about the antics. I don't want to see them. You say a lot of fans like them. I think the people live might like them. I don't know if the people watching on TV really care. They just want to get on with the game and get to the next. Honestly, when I was watching football, I really wouldn't watch the extra points too often because they would most always hit them. And I would only rewind if they actually missed it because I wanted to see what happened.
Well, when you say you wouldn't, what would you do? Would you leave the
I'd go get something out of the kitchen.
For every extra point?
Not everyone, but I wasn't like, if I was watching something that was taped, I mean, I'd fast right forward.
Right.
I didn't care about the extra point because it didn't matter. 2-point conversion, I'll watch. 1-point, I don't even know why it still exists, but it still exists. Should they penalize them? It depends on what they're doing, but I agree with you generally. I think you're right. That's not what the caller asked, but I can see where that can go. I don't have a problem with them showing their excitement. I wouldn't do it. That's me personally. I would not do that.
To use the immortal words of Marv Levy, one of my favorite coaches, the NFL has become over-officious.
Agreed. There's always new rules that you have to deal with, and we talked about this
and
a couple weeks
the
ago.
The rules that matter...
Yeah.
The rules that govern the game, they can't even, they have so bungled those, they've made
a
them
catch
so
is not a catch.
Incomprehensible. And meanwhile, they're throwing flags because Antonio Brown is doing the Macarena in the end zone.
Yeah. I think they look foolish doing it, and I don't care how many other players are participating. I just think it's stupid. And I recognize who we're talking about. We're talking about young men who tend to do stupid things. That's why they're young men. That's what we do as young men.
Right. And by the way, you don't blame the officials because the officials are simply there
to
enforce
what they're told to do.
The league's rules.
Yeah.
But the league needs to stop with, again, their priorities are so out of whack in terms of the things they fixate on, and then the very important things that are making the game almost unwatchable that they keep getting wrong.
That's why I'm not watching. It's almost unwatchable.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion about, we maybe should have that discussion on another podcast about, has the quality of play in the NFL deteriorated significantly? I think it has.
Well, then bring this up real quick. I can't believe there's not 32 men who can play quarterback. And there aren't.
Oh, I can.
Not in this league. There aren't 32
But I can
talented.
Believe it.
How can you believe? There's 335 million people in this country. You think they can't find 32 who can throw a ball and read a defense?
That's the thing. It's not really about throwing the ball. It's about a whole bunch of other stuff.
It's reading the defense. It's knowing when to throw, where to throw, and how to throw. It's knowing when to keep it and when to hand it off. It's a lot of things. But 32 people? We had more astronauts than that. And that's got to take more brain power than you're doing as a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on. 32 people. Are we just not looking at the right things? Are we, you know, elevating poor college play?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, because there is definitely a paucity, that's a good word, Chad.
Ooh, I like that.
Of quarterbacks that play at a high level, okay?
Yeah.
You go back and look at the guys that were in the league 15, 20 years ago in terms of the upper echelon. I mean, what's the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL right now? I mean, you've got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, still Drew Brees. Okay, maybe you've got Roethlisberger in there.
Probably second tier.
I think the second tier is guys like Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Who else is in there? You know, maybe Matthew Stafford, a couple. Yeah. But then you're immediately, after that, you're in just a vast field of mediocrity or worse.
And that's the problem, isn't it? There doesn't seem to be 32 total packages. And that's why, I mean, the games are more interesting to watch, because you never know what's going to happen. But 32 guys who can play this game well, there just aren't. And I don't know why that is. And it's been like that for a long time. You just never have a full league where they're all good. You just don't. And I don't understand it. So maybe we'll talk about this another time. So we still got our bet going.
Yes.
And when I looked at the score Sunday night, I was disappointed, I will say.
So the Rams are now 7-3?
8-3.
No, they're not 8-3.
Let me see.
They're 7-3.
7-3.
They're not 8-3. You've just given yourself an extra win.
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I deserved it, too. Rams record. Let's see.
I'm very confident that they are not 8-3.
They're 7-3. You're correct.
So, and my Chargers, after beating, now talk about one of the more inexplicable decisions in recent coaching history. The Buffalo Bills coach, is that McDermott?
Yeah.
Decided, now understand, the Bills, despite their sporadic offense, were 5-4 and very much in play for a playoff spot in the AFC.
Yeah.
And their coach, in his infinite wisdom, decided, we're going to bench Tyrod Taylor, who, I mean, he's no great shakes, but he's decent. And again, they're competing for a playoff spot, and we're going to start a guy who was our fifth round pick, who has never played a snap.
Jay Peterman from the Seinfeld
show. Yes, and what do you remember what happened in the first half?
I believe there were five interceptions.
Five interceptions in the first half.
I believe he did not recognize his team colors versus the Chargers team colors.
But again, why? And of course, then he puts Taylor back. This is even worse. So we're going to do this experiment because this is our future. Oh, you lasted a half. Mm-hmm. We're going back to the other guy now. You want to talk about 101 and how to lose a locker room.
Yeah.
And so my Chargers managed to score 54 points on the Bills.
Yeah.
They're now 4-6.
Yeah.
If they win out, which is the same likelihood as...
It would make them 10-6.
Yes, that will make them 10-6, and that means the Rams, for me to win the bet...
The Rams have to go 50.
They actually have to lose every one of their remaining games except for one. Mm-hmm. So I'm still on life support. I'm still putting money away for...
But the Rams got shellacked yesterday, so it can
happen. And actually, if you do look at their schedules, the
harder.
Rams have a hellacious remaining schedule, and the Chargers really don't.
Correct.
So
it's possible.
This will get more interesting if the Rams
lose. I'm wearing my Rams shoes right now.
If the Rams lose next week and go to 7-4 and the Chargers win, then we kind of have sort of a game on a little bit.
We got a little more action going there. We'll have to see how that turns out because
I
was a little nervous.
It's the Chargers.
I know.
The Chargers, you know what's going to happen? The Chargers are going to win four more games in a row. And then actually, they're going to put themselves in a position with a win over, you know, a CFL team, the Browns. They'll be in the playoffs, and they will then lose 30-0.
So let me just look up the Chargers' remaining schedule here. Just
Cowboys are next. Yeah. They've got a lot of teams that are beatable. Of course, pretty much anyone in the NFL is beatable these days, except for a few teams.
Yeah, well, they've got the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
Cowboys absent Zeke, who just got emasculated by the Eagles.
Yeah. Then they get the Browns the following week. Okay. So that's a good one to.
And by the way, the Chargers are in a revenge game against the Browns, having been the only team that lost to them last season.
Yes, the Browns are what, 35 losses out of the last 37 attempts.
Yes, the Chargers being one of those.
So that's
teams.
That doesn't make you feel good. Then the Redskins.
That's a tough game. The Redskins are decent. The Redskins are pretty good.
They lost to the Saints yesterday. Chiefs.
Well, and who knows what's going on with the Chiefs?
No idea. They
the
were
Chiefs
up
just
now.
Just lost to the Giants and scored 9 points.
In overtime. They lost in overtime to the Giants, who are now, what, 2-8?
Yes, that was the Giants' second win.
2-8. Jets. And they finished with the Raiders on New Year's
And the Raiders
Eve.
Are in free fall. So, I mean, the Jets game is a difficult game. The Jets are not bad. The Redskins game is a difficult game. But, I mean, look. They could win all of those games.
Sure.
This has always been true. The Chargers, once again, are 1-13 in games decided by 3 points or less. Every game they're in, they just lose them.
Yeah. So the Rams still have the Saints next week.
Okay, the Saints are maybe the second hottest team in football.
Could be bad. Then they got the Cardinals, which I think they should beat, but you never know. Then the Eagles, which could be a challenge. The Seahawks, which will be a challenge because it's a division game. Then the Titans.
And that, by the way, is that Seahawks game at Seattle?
It is.
All right. So to me, just looking at that, that's 3 losses in 4 games of their next 4 games.
Yep.
So that puts them at 8-6. If the Chargers go 3-1, that puts the Chargers at 7-7. So that means we're within a game, I have to win. See, that's the killer. If we could call it a draw on a tie, I would actually like my chances
You'd
a little
okay.
bit.
Then they finish with the Titans and the 49ers.
Who do?
The Rams.
Okay, so see, now there you go. And that's what's going to do.
Titans, they'll probably beat 49ers. They should beat. No guarantees, obviously. They lost to the Vikings yesterday. And the Vikings are a decent team. Case Keenum is their quarterback, and I don't know how that's working.
By the way,
did
we have a chance last week? Had the Chargers lost to the Jaguars when we last recorded?
Let me see here.
I don't think so, because I think we recorded on a Saturday.
Yeah, they played the next day.
And that is the game that if you want to watch the quintessential Chargers debacle, there's only one team in the league that could lose a game like that, and it is the Chargers. I would encourage anyone who simply wants to see an almost unfathomable exercise of ineptitude, futility, unimaginable stupidity.
I'm going to read your quote to me, your text to me. Possibly the most Chargers loss ever. Drop touchdown, drop pick six, fumble when running out the clock, then when Jags throw INT with about 1 minute left, run 3 consecutive times for no gain, give up game time field goal with help of roughing the passer penalty, lose in overtime, start picking out your cut of steak.
And by the way, it wasn't one interception.
No.
Okay, Blake Bortles, who is terrible.
Yeah.
With under 2 minutes to go in the game, the Chargers, after having dropped a touchdown pass and dropped a pick six, are leading by 3 points. Blake Bortles throws a crushing, horrendously bad interception into triple coverage. The Chargers have the ball. The game is over.
Should be.
Anthony Lynn, in his infinite wisdom, decides. Now, I guess this is at least marginally defensible because the Jaguars had 3 timeouts. So his thinking is, we don't throw. We're going to run the ball, make them burn their timeouts. Of course, you don't run the ball with Austin Eckler, who, by the way, had a great game, but he weighs like 137 pounds, and so he runs into the line and gets blown up and fumbles. Now, the best part of this is, immediately after this, oh, this is great. the Jags get the ball back. And actually, it first appeared that they had run the fumble back for a go-ahead touchdown, which was reversed, even though I didn't see any reason to reverse the call. So now they had the ball on the 30-yard line, still trailing by three.
Uh-huh.
They throw the ball into the end zone, and there's an initial flag because they say that the Chargers defense, it's an incomplete pass, has blasted their receiver. I think his name is Lee. So Mr. Lee immediately gets up and starts taunting the defender, and he is flagged for taunting. Now, remember, his team is losing by 3 points, and you're going to taunt the guy in the end zone who's just been flagged. The referees pick up the flag against the Chargers and say 15 yards for unsportsmanlike. So on the next play, after the Jags are pushed back, Bortles throws an even worse interception 30 feet over the head of his receiver. So now the Chargers have their second interception in the last 2 minutes. And the Jags have used all their timeouts. You can't possibly lose now, except for the fact that Anthony Lynn decides to turtle up and burrow his way into the line, essentially telegraphing, we're not even going to try to get a first down. He won't even let Phillip Rivers throw because a first down ends the game. The Jags get the ball back again. That's when Joey Bosa, who's one of the best defensive players in the league, roughs Blake Bortles, puts them in field goal range, and the best, Chad, the best part of this is who is the kicker? Who is the kicker that ties the game and sends it into overtime for the Jaguars?
It was their ex-kicker, was it?
Yes, that's Josh Lambeau, the kicker that the Chargers cut unannounced for the YouTube sensation, I don't know what the guy's name is, Duck Cuckoo, yeah. Whatever the guy is that can do backflips and kick field goals, but he can't actually make field goals in a game. So they cut him, they bring back Nick Novak, who's the guy the Chargers cut before,
yep.
And Nick Novak is okay, and now Josh Lambeau, the guy that they cut because karma, kicks the field goal to beat them, and then in overtime, he kicks another one. That was, you put that in a time capsule, and you say, these are the LA Chargers. That's the game that defines them. Correct?
It has to. I mean,
and that is the game that's going to cost me our bet.
Yep.
And that's also the game that's going to cost them a playoff appearance because the AFC West is a dumpster fire.
Nobody wants to win it, right. Do they? Nobody wants to win the AFC West. We thought the Chiefs did, but they don't seem to want it anymore.
Yeah, it was literally like a Bad News Bears movie that was playing out as an NFL football game. Unbelievable.
I had to go watch the highlights just because I had to see what he was talking about. It was unbelievable. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. There's highlights.
Low lights. They're actually not highlights.
Well, yes. I saw yesterday the Browns said if you can predict their final record and the number of points they will score for the season, they will give you a highlight reel, which I'm sure will be very slim.
Yeah, well, what is the highlight reel exactly?
Of the other teams scoring? Yeah, other teams beating us up. That's what it's going to be. So we still got the bet going. As I said, I'm wearing my Rams shoes. They are literally Rams color shoes, and I wore them tonight for Tony. We're hoping they can give me some luck and get me over the hump. And I'd love if the Rams would go 6-0 in the last six games. That would be awesome for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, the fact that they play the Niners and who else in their last
Cardinals, yeah. Titans.
No, the last two games.
Titans and Niners.
Yeah, that's gonna kill me. I think they're gonna win one of those two games.
I think Tony's under some delusion that the Chargers are gonna do better than they are.
No,
they'll be close.
No,
they'll
of course
be close.
They are because they're not. See, that's what they do. They're not gonna just lose a whole bunch of games. They're gonna win a bunch in a row,
yeah.
And everyone's gonna say this is it. They're on a roll. And then they're gonna.
When's the last time they made a playoffs?
Oh, geez. I mean,
was it under Marty?
No, they made the playoffs under McCoy. They got in 1 year when they were 9-7.
Okay.
And then they completely imploded and lost.
So it's been a while.
I think it's been probably about 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Something like that.
So it's been a couple years.
By the way, Mike McCoy just got fired by the Broncos.
Shocking.
Yes.
Shocking.
The Mike McCoy era is now over in Denver.
You tell me the offense and...
Well, the Brock Osweiler era.
Did Brock Osweiler look a lot better when Peyton Manning was there than he does now? It looks like he's regressed into...
Yeah,
you know,
Brock Osweiler looks like the mutant love child of Babe Laufenberg.
Well, I guess you get cut by Houston and the Browns.
He's terrible. I mean, he's one of those guys that you watch a single snap and you're thinking, this guy's awful. He's just horrific.
What happened?
Oh, he's throwing the ball 8 yards wide of his target. I don't know what happened.
He's broken. They broke him.
And how in the world does a guy like Bill O'Brien in the Texans organization scout this guy and say, he's the man that we're going to guarantee, what, $20 million to save the quarterback position for us? Unbelievable.
Without working him out.
Yeah. Well, again, and they have film.
Yeah, well, they also got Tom Savage running the show down there.
The other question is, which is causing me to question Bill O'Brien's CV as a quarterback whisperer, is how in the world was Tom Savage going to be the guy on the depth chart that was ahead of Deshaun Watson? He was.
I do not know.
How does that happen? Well, Deshaun Watson, if he isn't injured, is going to easily be the landslide rookie of the year and would have been, the way he was going, in the MVP conversation.
You're right, right.
But Tom Savage was going to be the starter?
Well, Buffalo, why did they put Peterman in? What did he show you in practice that made you think he was a better option?
Yeah, well,
possibly.
Yeah, well, that's just sheer lunacy.
You're looking at these coaches going, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
But here's the thing. At least for the Texans, even though it's sort of inexplicable given what Watson did, that's at the beginning of the season.
I know.
Why would you swap out your starter when the team is 5-4 and in the hunt for the playoffs?
I do not know. I mean, you're right, Tyrod Taylor's nothing special, but he was better than Peterman, who couldn't
Well, and by the way, Tyrod Taylor, and anyone that pays attention to quarterback stats, okay, my most hated stat is QBR, which is a wholly owned, nonsensical measure that was come up with by ESPN. Yes, it's kind of their proprietary baloney. And now everyone cites QBR as if it's this legitimate measure, and Tyrod Taylor ranks very high on QBR.
Oh, great.
Because it values guys that kind of run around.
Great.
I mean, it's amazing. I saw one game where Tyrod Taylor was like 7-21, but he had a QBR through the roof, because through some alchemy, that's very good. Tyrod Taylor is certainly more than a serviceable starter. He's not great, but he's okay. And again, he's quarterbacking a team with a winning record that's in the running for a playoff spot. And the coach out of the blue says, no, I think we should put in this fifth-round guy who's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. That's a good idea.
Let's do that. Yeah, against the Chargers. Well, he throws the Chargers.
Right.
Get away with it. I just want to – our crack research staff has just informed me that Joe Flacco still plays in the league.
He does.
We don't ever talk about Joe Flacco, but is he still here? He's still playing?
He is.
I mean, they're in the sixth spot right now.
He had a game earlier this year where he threw for 24 yards.
That's what I mean.
I think that was the London game.
Yeah, it was.
And he actually played
almost
the entire
game. Was that not against the Jaguars?
It might have been.
Yeah.
He literally threw for 24 yards.
Yeah. Highest paid quarterback ever.
Well, he's got some talent. I mean, the problem, he won a Super Bowl and then they vastly overpaid him because he can throw the ball. Because Joe Flacco can throw the ball 75 yards.
Ooh.
That's great. So could Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
So could Jeff George. I don't think that's the best measure of why you're going to pay a guy elite franchise quarterback.
I just thought I'd let you people know that he still plays in the league.
He is still playing in the league.
I haven't heard his name in years.
I heard he's actually a nice guy.
Maybe. I don't think he likes the mustache. I hate that.
The 70s
porn stash. Yes. Yeah, it's not a good look
it's
for
unfortunate.
Him. It's not a good look for him. So that's all I got, Tony. You got anything to share?
I think we were going to get a call next week that says we once again spent too much time on the sports at the end. But
not from the same caller we had tonight.
I know, but we also didn't give the warning. We should have given the sports warning that you can tune out if you don't like the sports stuff.
Yeah, we'll give it at the end.
Yeah.
That way they'll know they should have not listened.
I think next week
point.
There's going to need to be a few more driving rules.
Ooh.
I had a couple incidents.
Well, I had an incident tonight that I wasn't happy, but wasn't driving.
We'll discuss that next time.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us. I'm Chad.
I'm Tony.
Good night.
This has been a Hannah Tree production.